As you may have heard earlier, there were reports that were unconfirmed that multiple Capitol Police officers had been shot. There were conflicting reports that they had been run over with a car. Apparently, there was somebody that had smashed into the barriers there. A helicopter landed on the east front of the Capitol. Nothing to see here. I'm sure just more white supremacists after AOC, and I'm sure that she is shuddering in fear, probably still hiding at the place that she pretends to be, or maybe is or is not there. Anything else additional? We will bring it to you as we get it. Joining us now, Patrick Howley, senior reporter at National File. Patrick, have you heard anything on this?
So the U.S. Capitol Police, Stu, has just put out a statement saying that USCP is responding to the North Barricade vehicle access point along Independence Avenue for reports someone rammed a vehicle into two USCP officers. A suspect is in custody. Both officers are injured. All three have been transported to the hospital. So it looks like this is going to be a situation where you have to follow the details. There are probably going to be a lot of politicized narratives coming out. But for what we know right now, it appears as though someone hit two officers or injured two officers by ramming a vehicle. And it does not look as though anybody opened fire on the cops.
If this was a white person, there's no doubt they were a Trump supporter. They were a 3%er. They were a Proud Boy or something like that. Definitely 100% for sure. If this person was not white or Caucasian or of American descent, then obviously we will hear nothing further about this on any of the major broadcast networks or media outlets.
Well, Stu, they might have been a poor boy. I don't know. Have you heard Biden mention the poor boys?
No, I have not heard about this one yet.
Of course, in the debate, Joe Biden referred to the poor boys. So the poor boys, I think, are just like a gang of youth that ride the rails strumming a banjo for corncob pipe money.
Yes, and definitely have been oppressed and taken advantage of, held down, by the way, by white privileged people like you and I for their entire lives. They'll never amount to anything. And it's the fault of their classmates and peers that were Caucasian.
Well, speaking of privilege, sometimes I wonder if I missed the Eyes Wide Shut sequel, because it appears to be playing out right in front of our eyes in reality every single day. Here are some of our Hollywood and globalist insect people overlords explaining to us how businesses are now going to be marked and labeled in accordance with health guidelines.
If you want to get back to your favorite places and feel confident they have put your health and safety first,
look for the WELL Health Safety Seal.
Look for the WELL Health Safety Seal.
Look for the WELL Health Safety Seal.
I'm Dr. Richard Carmona, the 17th Surgeon General of the United States of America. This is the WELL Health Safety Seal from the International WELL Building Institute, the global authority on healthy buildings.
The WELL Health Safety Rating was informed by years of research and input from hundreds of leading virologists, public health experts, epidemiologists, and building professionals around the world.
You'll see it at schools, offices, banks, childcare centers, all the places we go.
The WELL Health Safety Seal means that we'll feel better going into restaurants,
theaters, stores, hotels,
stadiums, and all the places that we love.
For God's sake.
Everything may look the same, but the WELL Health Safety Seal means that your health and safety are top of mind when it comes to
cleaning and sanitizing procedures,
air and water quality management,
emergency preparedness programs,
and health services.
Okay. So look for the WELL Health Safety Seal outside
and feel more confident going inside. Learn more about the WELL Health Safety Rating at wellhealthsafety.com.
Well, there you have it. The authorities on everything. These people that are participating in the child pedophilia rings and the extortion of our kids, child sex trafficking, all those things are now telling us how to stay healthy, not only on the outside, but as we go inside, according to Jennifer Lopez and Lady Gaga there. The authorities on everything. All right, great.
Well, you know, it's super serious and you have to pay attention to it because of that cloying elevator music in the background. That is what signals you. We used to call that Muzak.
Yeah.
That Muzak signals you that it's very serious.
And this time guy to here, just get serious. Who's this guy that's making millions and millions of dollars by designing this logo and calling himself the authority, the global authority on everything that is supposed to protect you when you go inside of your local deli hardware store or to get your damn haircut at the barber? This is insane. We have reached a completely new level of total insanity as we look to these people, these scum, this complete trash of the earth, for any kind of realistic point of view of how to remain safe. Safe against what? Safe against what? The 99.98% survival rate of this stupid flu that has incapacitated our entire world, that has been over-politicized, it is so not hidden anymore. It boggles my mind to believe that there are people out here running around that are actually convinced that there is a justifiable reason to shut down the entire economy and to kill our kids' education and to muzzle them with these burkas every day. I'm really reaching the end of my rope with this, Patrick. I don't know. Maybe this business is not for me anymore. I'm going to be coming unglued, and then pretty soon I'll be permanently cast over to the tinfoil hat wearing section where I need to be deprogrammed and reeducated. I don't know. This is becoming nuts.
I think if George Washington had seen the 300-pound Karens screeching white supremacy at men on the sidewalk for not wearing a mask, he would have just given up at Valley Forge.
Yeah, you are a definite racist if you choose not to wear a mask. That, by the way, if you try to burn them, I know that there's off the topic real quick here. See, I'm just so frazzled by this. This million mask march or maskless march that's going on in Florida. The guy that Chris Nelson, he came on the program yesterday. Apparently he's tried to burn masks. They're going to do this. This is part of the thing that they're going to do, is burn these masks. Apparently he's tried to do this because he's like, you can't just light these things on fire. You have to use an accelerant. So there's some sort of chemical in these things. I mean, people really believe that it's healthy to put these things on your... You, here on the Daily Intel brief, brought a report and video footage of where these things are manufactured. They're all over the floor of malaria-infected third-world countries and then being shoved in our faces, the healthy alternative to the coronavirus. This is insane.
It is. Well, speaking of racism, Stu, the CEO of Coca-Cola is now bashing the Georgia voter ID law. He does not like voter ID, but apparently, according to records, if you wanted to attend the 2020 annual Coca-Cola shareholder meeting, you needed, quote, a valid photo ID, and admission ticket is required to gain admission to the meeting.
Oh.
Meanwhile, executives from Delta and American Airlines are bashing the voter ID stuff that is going on in various states. Oh, wait, I'm pretty sure they make you wear or show photo ID in order to get onto airplanes.
Pretty yeah, sure. I don't know the last time. I don't even think you can go online and book a thing without putting in your ID number now anymore. I mean, this is, again, the hypocrisy, the lunacy, the idiocy of these people are just, they are so extra stupid. I cannot believe that I'm walking around amongst people that are this friggin' stupid. They can't be.
Well, the reason for that, Stu, is has been explained by a University of Cincinnati graduate assistant who argues, quote, intelligence is a white man's mythology. So intelligence doesn't even exist. And I think that's becoming abundantly clear nowadays.
Yeah, it absolutely is right out in the wide open. Ignorance, on the other hand, is running rampant out here.
Well, Stu, good news. The Swedish Space Corporation has canceled the ScopeX project financed by Bill Gates. Bill Gates was planning on firing chalk particles into the sky in order to dim the sun, deflect the sun's rays in order to cool the entire planet, basically blot out the sun. Mr. Burns attempted to do this once on The Simpsons. Bill Gates was prepared to go ahead with this summer, but due to public pressure, the Swedish Space Corporation has canceled the project. They might pick it up again in the future, but for now, the sun's rays will continue to grace us here on this earth with vitamin D, and the plants will be able to grow.
Yeah, thereby creating some oxygen. Gates was saying that this thing would effectively cool the rays of the sun by 2050, but isn't he the same guy saying that the whole damn thing is going to come crashing down, burn, and blow up by 2022? Next year, this thing is supposed to...
Yes, it's difficult for him to keep his ridiculous nonsense consistent. Meanwhile, though, the Biden administration has a challenge up at challenge.gov, a mask innovation challenge for, quote, building tomorrow's mask. Building tomorrow's mask. Mm. So this is going to be the mask of the future. They are taking submissions in order to build the mask of the future. And that is what is going on in our very misguided world right now.
So are we now basically just accepting the fact that these masks are forever? Is that the thing? I mean, they've all but told us that now, right? I mean, the social distancing, the business closures, the occupancy limitations, the family gathering sizes, the sports, the arenas, the concerts, all canceled, mask wearing indefinitely now, right? I mean, is that, we're just supposed to accept this?
That stuff is always going to be present in our society. As I've always said, the government doesn't go backwards. Once they've got people submitting to something like this, they're never going to take it away. The question is how many states, how many counties, how many municipalities, how many companies and businesses are going to be able to live in a parallel reality to the ridiculous New World Order, eyes wide shut mask people. And I think that ultimately what you're going to see is, yes, you're always going to see the people in masks. There are always going to be these kinds of rules and regulations where wherever you go. The question is, how much is America going to separate based on ideology? And is there going to be a freedom alternative to their nonsense?
For more integrity-filled journalism and the hardest-hitting truthful stories of the day, you can always visit nationalfile.com. Patrick Hawley, senior reporter with that outfit, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Stu.
Folks, we have been here talking ad nauseum about corporate wokeness. We've talked about Coca-Cola. We had an insider, a whistleblower there with training materials that was just absolutely mind-boggling. Trying to fight this stuff is seemingly getting more and more difficult as this stuff just compounds. It's everywhere that we look. Kevin Freeman is considered one of the world's leading experts on the issues of economic warfare and financial terrorism. He's consulted for and briefed members of both the U.S. House and Senate, present and past CIA, DIA, FBI, SEC, Homeland Security, the Justice Department, as well as local and state law enforcement. His research has been presented in critical DOD studies on economic warfare, Iran, and weapons of mass destruction presented to the Secretary of Defense. He's traveled extensively with research trips to Russia, China, and throughout Europe, as well as the Americas. He's also a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy and a contributing editor to the Counterterrorist magazine. He joins us right now. Kevin, thanks a lot for being here. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Stu. It's good to be with you.
Of course. Increasingly, Facebook and Twitter have decided to use their platforms as political advocacy tools. These companies are silencing voices who challenge the left's woke narratives and their agenda. Kevin, how do we combat this stuff?
Well, that is one form of economic warfare, and it's a severe form, and it's one every American should fear. The reason is we've granted a quasi-monopoly to these social media companies, not only from their market position, but also the government through Section 230 has exempted them from public retribution through normal procedures. So how do we combat it? We've got to remove the special protections. We've got to allow competition, free market competition, something they stopped when they kicked Parler off Amazon Web Services, off the Apple iPhone and so forth. We've got to allow free enterprise to take this, bring the solution here. And if we don't do that, we'll see the corporations like Facebook, Twitter and Coca-Cola and other big woke companies in bed with the government controlling everything we think and everything we do.
We've seen this surge of this thing happening here over the last few months, specifically since Joe Biden took office and kind of leading up to the general election on November 3rd for the presidency. Has this been in existence, though, for a lot longer? It just wasn't brought to the surface until the so-called Great Awakening?
Well, you know, we had Facebook and Twitter standing against the duly elected president of the United States, President Trump. They had no problem with criticism there. So that wasn't a threat. The threat comes now when their candidate is in office and now they're passing back and forth support from the government to the social media and social media to the government. That's why we started StopCorporateTyranny.org. We don't want American companies to be politically biased one side or the other. I don't have a problem if they're defending their business and position. But when they start to tell us what Georgia should do with voting rights, or they begin to tell us how we should think, how we should act, that we should be less white and so forth, that's crossing a line. Yeah. I want the companies I invest in and that I buy products from to be politically neutral.
Yeah, and as we look around the country and see the wokeness infiltrating our workplaces, product dealers, the marketplace everywhere, from online sellers to your local deli and grocery store, now, you mentioned Georgia, specifically in that state, even professional sports are reacting to this. Has this ball seemingly rolling downhill picked up too much momentum for us to get in front of this thing? Can we actually stop it?
Well, absolutely we can. And you mentioned Major League Baseball, which, by the way, is a government-provided monopoly. It should be completely illegal for government-provided monopolies to be entering the political arena at all, period. And how we stop it? StopCorporateTyranny.org. That's a website. It's an amazing website by a coalition of terrific people. You can go there and in 60 seconds, let your voice be heard. You can click on the link telling Facebook and Twitter to stay out of your personal and political business. And in 60 seconds, send emails, put Twitter posts, Facebook posts, and so forth that will make your voice heard. It's time we stand up against this corporate tyranny.
So specifically, stopcorporatetyranny.org, what can I do there? So you said that I can put a Facebook post and a Twitter post and immediately have my voice be heard. I mean, that's the objective of a lot of people, specifically influencers like myself, but also just the regular guy who has a Twitter account and wants to get real news. He wants to stay informed. He's unable to see this show. On Facebook, for instance, the shadow banning has resulted in me personally, Kevin. I have friends who I have personally known as actual physical friends, not just in the online world, but actual real friends of mine who live in my town, who I've known. I've grown up with some of these people. They had no idea that Patriotically Correct even existed. These are my actual friends. Now, so of course, I haven't talked to them for quite a long time because our lives take us in different directions. But you would think that my friends list of people would specifically know, but they don't even see this stuff. How do we fight against this? And what does StopCorporateTyranny.org allow us to do?
Well, first off, regardless of your political stripe, the threat to our liberty from someone able to determine and censor any political viewpoint, that's insane. So we have to go to StopCorporateTyranny.org. And then you can click on a link. There's a free Roots campaign that you can click on, and you can it'll send an email to Mark Zuckerberg and other corporate executives and senators and so forth so that you can make your voice heard. If we all do this, if we have 10 million people do this, it will make an enormous impact. Companies will back up and say, wait, I don't want to offend my customers. 74 plus million people voted for Donald Trump. And Facebook, Coca-Cola, Delta Airlines, and so forth, they want to offend half the customer base. Their economic interest says no, they should not. And the only reason they're doing it is because nobody's standing up and saying stop. We're standing up and saying stop, and we're inviting all your viewers, all your listeners to join us in doing that. Make our voices heard, and they will stop.
The Delta Airlines deal, the Coca-Cola stuff, this is a matter, I think, Kevin, of convenience. We have to get from point A to point B. Coca-Cola has a lot of products out there. It's not just Coke that you see. I mean, Aquafina water, all kinds of different stuff. Nestle, you know, these things that people don't typically associate with Coke, but you're supporting the conglomerate. You're buying from that person, from that corporation. Even if you're not trying to support them, you are. So as a matter of convenience, we have to try to weigh, you know, what do we want versus what do we actually need? It might not be convenient for you to leave the platform of Facebook, and you're not recommending that people do that. I think it's important that we stay in the fight, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. You can be salt and light. You know, Jesus, it's Good Friday, so we'll talk. Jesus mentioned salt and lights. Salt would be you'd be salty. So you buy shares in Coca-Cola and then show up for the proxy vote. Vote for the proper candidates. Vote on the proxy resolutions. Make your voice heard as an owner or as a consumer. Make your voice heard. Go to our website and make your voice heard. Or you can be light. Go the light approach and say, hey, look, I'm not going to deal with any of this darkness. I'm not buying any Coke from here on going forward. Both approaches are valid, and we recommend both be tried. But I don't want a conservative Coca-Cola. I'm not wanting somebody that's trying to cram conservative values down either. Not as a shareholder. I wouldn't want that because it would hurt the economic benefit to the company. The company wouldn't make as much money if they alienated half their customers. And frankly, I just don't think it's good for business to be that vocal. Sure, if it's about soft drink legislation, get involved. But when we're talking to the sovereign state of Georgia and telling them how they can set their elections and whether or not to require voter ID, that's nuts.
Any idea? Can you speculate as to why they got into this? Why not just stick to making Coke products? Why not just stick to flying people around the country? Why feel the need to actually take a position on this?
Well, they're trying to curry favor with the Biden administration, I suppose. But also, they think that's the direction the political winds are blowing. They don't realize that the vast majority of people in America just want a Coke. They don't want a conservative Coke. They want to don't want a progressive Coke. They just want to buy a Coke and then maybe smile. The point is this: unless we make our voices heard, they will continue to listen to those very loud minority voices. And when I say minority, I'm not talking racial minority. I'm talking about a small fraction of the American people who demand that Coke get woke. Well, most people don't want that. They want a Coke and a smile. So they're hearing a few voices. They need to hear the majority voices.
Well, there's a sense of optimism that comes over me on this Friday afternoon after hearing you say that we can actually stop this. I was fearing that you were going to say, no, it's gone too far. StopCorporateTyranny.org. Folks, get over there right now. StopCorporateTyranny.org. Kevin Freeman, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
We know about the crisis at the border. It's all over the place. There are tens of thousands of illegals pouring into our country. We got into an exclusive report about a whistleblower inside of the Border Patrol who said that the surge of child sex trafficking, pedophiles, and sex offenders, over 30,000 of them making their way into the United States. By the way, they're going completely unchecked. And now states are starting to embrace these people. In the state of Minnesota, right here where we are, for example, the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce has come out with a new report saying, you don't need to procreate. No, don't do that. We're going to replace dying off Minnesotans with immigrants. Here to talk with us more about that, he's an author, he's a writer, and he is a campaign strategist, Pete DeBrasco. Welcome to PC Radio. We appreciate you being here.
Well, hey, Stu, thanks for having me. I came across this report earlier today, and I was pretty shocked, to be honest, because the Chamber of Commerce is really tipping their hand here about what their end goal is for us. They said that since deaths are going to outnumber births by 2040, that we need to have migrants replace the native-born American population. Of course, that's untrue. There is a way in which we could fill all of the necessary jobs that the Chamber of Commerce wants to fill with native-born Americans. That would be to incentivize marriage and birth and nuclear families. The government could very easily do that, but the Chamber of Commerce doesn't want to do that because the Chamber of Commerce is not so much pro-business as it is pro-cheap labor for its members. And of course, the cheapest labor comes from immigrants, not from native-born Americans.
Well, not only that, but the votes. I mean, where do the votes come from? They come from people who are 100% completely dependent upon the government. They don't have the means to actually go get a job in the legal job market, right? They have to hide. They have to be in the shadows, but no more, because the government is now saying, hey, you're welcome here. Not only that, but you're more welcome here. You have more freedoms here and the ability at an economic stability that is even greater than somebody who's natively born here in the state of Minnesota, Minneapolis, or anywhere around the country, specifically in America, under the Joe Biden policies, the liberal policies, the leftist policies, which are actually now being supported by weak members of the GOP who ran away from President Donald Trump and anybody who supported an immigration moratorium.
Yes, of course. And so I've been calling for an immigration moratorium for over a year now. I think it should be at least 10 years long. But you touched on an important point, right? This is not just an economic issue. It's also a cultural issue. Right. So what happens when you bring in vast demographics of people who vote in favor of Democrats? Well, what do you think is going to happen? Right. You're going to get Democrat policies. Immigrants that come here that vote, legal and probably illegal, vote about 75-25% Democrat to Republican. Right. So this is not only just a strategy to replace the native born population for cheap labor. It's also a strategy. It's also an electoral strategy for Democrats. And I see Republicans, honestly, and I'm just going to go by name here. I see Republicans like Catalina Loeff, the supposed Republican running against Adam Kinzinger in Illinois, saying things like we need legal immigrants. We're a nation of immigrants. And this, of course, is not true. We're a nation of settlers. We're a nation of pioneers. We have too much labor already. And she says, Guatemalan black beans, which I just had for breakfast, are what makes America great. And it's like, I can't even imagine how small your brain has to be for that to be your worldview on what immigration is. But that's like what the current Republican Party is churning out. It's really disgusting.
Well, I mean, we're seeing this all over the country. We're seeing people that they were waving the proud flag of President Trump while they enjoyed the protection of President Trump while he essentially worked alone for 5 years, you know, because he started working when he came down the escalator, when he was illegally spied on by the Obama administration. And then even into his presidency, he was illegally spied on. Those that were the closest to him, allegedly, were the ones that were stabbing him in the back. And then now they're doing it right out in front of him. I mean, these are the very same people that stood in front of the entire country, in front of the United States of America, in front of disenfranchised voters, and certified what we believe is a highly questionable, if not completely fraudulent, election. And now we're looking at an occupied Washington, D.C., surrounded by electrified razor wire. National Guard troops are there. What are they there for? We've got knife-wielding suspects crashing into barriers, multiple officers being injured for absolutely no reason whatsoever. I mean, this tension shouldn't even be there, but it's coming as a result of zero backbone from the GOP. The GOP, in my eyes, is dead. The Republican Party is dead. I don't know that the formation of a new party is necessarily the answer. What needs to happen here is these people need to be primaried out. But Pete, can we do this in an environment where we don't even know if any election really counts anymore? We're now being threatened with the statehood of D.C. and other territories that, you know, will introduce more Democrat senators and congresspeople into our federal government. We're talking about the packing of the court. I mean, there's been talk about Barack Obama being appointed as a Supreme Court justice now. I mean, can we actually even really address, well, we got to get rid of these people and replace them with real America First candidates, or do we have to just start the whole system all over again? What is imminent here?
Well, you know, I mean, it's interesting that you bring that up, because there are sort of, I guess you would call them serious conservative pundits or people that you wouldn't have, you know, think would want to have anything to do with Donald Trump. People like the David Horowitzes of the world, for example, calling for an American two-state solution, right? Like columnists who are and pundits who have existed forever in this country saying that we need to split up, and that, you know, our relationship with the other party in this country is irreconcilable. And it's time to just give up and you know, let us go peacefully and we can have our own two separate nations. That, I think, is a viable option, though obviously, you know, it's sort of unrealistic. The more realistic...
What do these two different states look like? I mean...
And so that's the question, right? I mean, who goes where and how do we do it?
Yeah, you love freedom, you go here. You love totalitarian, authoritarian rule where everybody's subservient to the state, you go there. Because, I mean, that's the objective, right?
Right.
If you want to subject yourself to an unknown jab with some God knows what inside of it that hasn't been approved for anything, it can't even really be called a vaccine. It tricks your body into believing you have COVID all the time, if there's really even anything COVID-related in that injection. You know, and you're going to wear a mask for the rest of your life. You're going to limit the amount of family members that are going to come over to your house. Your kid is going to play sports while re-inhaling the toxins his body is designed to rid itself of every time he exhales. You know, I mean, what, you're going to kill your babies, you know, everybody will be at liberty to do that, and white people are not allowed. Is that basically what the one state looks like?
That's what the other side would look like. I mean, if they had it their way, right? I mean, it's the people who are forcing white people to apologize for being white all the time. It's the people, you know, saying that this is a fundamentally bad country. And that the white people that created it need to apologize for the bad system that they created. And then when you ask them, you know, well, where's the better system? They say, well, it's the Scandinavian countries, the Northern European countries that have a higher population of white people than here, you know, like in terms of density.
Yeah. And you're talking about the same party that hates old white men, but religiously send old white men to go represent them. I mean, look at Bernie Sanders, who by all intents and purposes probably should have had the nomination. I feel terrible for that guy. He's had two of them robbed from him now. But, you know, certainly one of the most popular people amongst the people who hate old white rich men is Bernie Sanders. And then they elect, apparently, allegedly, Joe Biden, an old white rich man who's somehow enriched himself after 48 years of public service, where he started as a senator making $48,000 a year, but now he's a multimillionaire with seven elaborate homes. You know, what, is it because he's married to a doctor? I mean, what are we really supposed to believe? I mean, the truth is staring us right in our face. They're asking us to unsee what we're seeing and deny that we're hearing what we're hearing. At what point does America just say, no, this is the truth. You're not going to fool us anymore.
Well, you know, I mean, I think we're rapidly approaching a point where you know, we're rapidly approaching a post-truth world is really where we're at, right? But back to your original question, it's like, how do we solve the problem? What's the best way to move forward? The best way to move forward is to infiltrate the GOP with candidates who are serious.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so this is going to require us to be able to identify candidates who are unserious, candidates who are unserious, like Catalina Loft, candidates in the mold of Kim Klasick, who go out in places like Baltimore and raise $8 million and win by, or excuse me, lose by 80% of the vote, right? Yet they shout the America First slogan, and so we give them $8 million in GOP cash that could be spent in other races on serious America First candidates, the seats that could actually be won. And so I guess my plea to your viewers would be seriously consider who it is that is running, what they are saying, what their track records are, who's running them is a big thing. So there's this, your viewers really should know, Charlie Kirk and Benny Johnson and these grifters and that sort of TPUSA social media influence circles, these guys are starting their own little consulting hustle and they're putting up their influencers in these races so that they can control the narrative. And what they are is what these candidates are is,
I'll tell you what they are. They're Britney Spears, they're Backstreet Boys, and they're NSYNC. They are manufactured, they are made, they are propped up, okay? There's really no talent there. I mean, Justin Timberlake is an infinitely talented person, but he's the only one out of all of them that I mentioned. The rest of them were all just put there and propped up. They're the same way. They were manufactured like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I mean, just a few years ago, she was flipping her boobs out in some kind of a pub in New York and serving drinks, right? And then all of a sudden now she's one of the most prolific people in our federal government. Then you have Charlie Kirk, who you mentioned. Okay, this is a Philip Boyce creation. This is a Salem Media creation. This is a guy who just all of a sudden liked somebody. Somebody liked him, or he was able to easily be sodomized. I don't know what the deal is. But really then, here he is on the national stage, as you say, enriching himself off of this so-called platform that he has. In the same way, it's no different than the way that Ibram Kendi is making money himself by taking advantage of, the false narrative of systemic racism. And this is coming from a guy who grew up in a house that had both parents at home. They both had really nice careers, above middle class average salaries. They're both nicely retired. They're both ministers in their local community. He went to a private school for his whole life. He went to earn multiple BS degrees and a master's degree. He only went to one HBCU school. He's now a professor at Boston College. He's married to a doctor. He's led a silver spoon life his entire life, but yet he wants to be out here screaming racism and making millions and millions of dollars based on people's fear emotions. And it's all coming at the expense, all coming to the detriment of real impoverished black folks that are really on the south side of Chicago or the north side of Minneapolis, who are struggling to raise their kids because of intentionally implemented failed democratic liberal policies.
That's right. And of course, despite all of his education and his silver spoon upbringing, Ibram Kendi somehow still manages to be semi-literate. So does Charlie Kirk, by the way. They share that those traits. And so, the GOP establishment has realized that, like, the Mitch McConnells of the world are not going to cut it anymore. They're simply too old. People are done with the, with the old white man thing, right? So the GOP establishment is getting smart. So it's enlisted the help of Charlie Kirk to run these young, black, female, diverse candidates, right, in all of these races on a fake America First platform. On a fake, pro President Trump platform, but you're going to get the same policies as you would have under Mitch McConnell or as you would have under Kevin McCarthy, right? They're just putting a different face on neoconservatism. That's all they're doing.
These are the people that are Jared Kushner approved. Right.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Basically, that's what this is. This is the ultra uber liberal people cocktail party acting as gatekeepers while really just keeping all the information from somebody like President Trump, who probably doesn't know about real America First candidates that he could be endorsing, like a Jan Morgan in Arkansas versus this Bozeman who blames Trump for the January 6th so-called insurrection that looked to me like a peaceful and guided tour of the Capitol. Yeah. So but yet our federal law enforcement agencies are going to fervently hunt down any grandma that was there trying to take a selfie and allow for the opposition to go ahead and burn entire cities to the ground in the name of, let's just take George Floyd, for example, a career criminal, violent, home invading thug who died of an overdose as a medical examiner ruled that he had 3 times a lethal amount of fentanyl and meth cocktail in his system and was alive for 30 minutes after he got to the hospital. I mean, there's pictures of Derek Chauvin and Tu Tao, the Minneapolis cop, standing there in the hospital waiting for a status update on George Floyd, which proves that he didn't die at the scene, but yet we're going to try an officer on the world stage and more than likely convict him, because what juror is really going to come with a not guilty verdict knowing that their name is going to be made public in an atmosphere like what we're living in today?
Of course. And what's fascinating about that, and I've been following this trial very closely and covering it in the news, is During jury selection, it was very obvious that they gave up on finding people who hadn't seen the infamous bystander video, right? The question was, how much of it did you see? The question is, how many times did you watch it?
Yeah.
The question is, was, do you view Black Lives Matter favorably or unfavorably, or somewhat favorably or somewhat unfavorably? Like, the question wasn't, have you not consumed any media about this? Is how much media have you consumed?
Pete, the question here that I really have is, if we know the truth, I've said it to Patrick Cowley on this program. I say it to my listeners all the time. I cannot really convince myself that I'm out here walking around people that are this stupid. The majority of Americans, I haven't overestimated them. They are intelligent people. They know what the truth is. I don't know if they're in self-denial, if they believe it's too scary to actually address it, if they don't know what to do, if they're overwhelmed between everything, between this fraudulent stolen election to the coronavirus pandemic to the losing their job to being forced to be teachers at home and having their kids home and not, you know, I mean, they're too white now. And I mean, no matter where they turn, there's just some kind of animal in their face growling at them, like, don't come over here, because if you do, you're going to get your head bit off. Or if it really is that they're just that stupid. But if the truth is right here in front of us, if we can see, look, Derek Chauvin, whether or not you agree with the optics, whether or not you agree with the tactics, is he guilty of murder? I really don't think so. I mean, we can see the pictures of him with his knee on the back, and at least there is a shadow of a doubt, right? Which is the way that our criminal justice system is supposed to work. I haven't been privy to all the facts, and I'm not sitting on the jury, so I'm not going to convict or acquit him here in the court of public opinion because I'm not that irresponsible with my platform. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't look good for the prosecution in this sense. And then also, you look at this election. I mean, it was clearly stolen. Not only did they steal at the national level, but we're using the same technology that's over in Venezuela to steal elections. We use then the same technology down in Georgia, where two Senate seats, very pivotal Senate seats, then surprisingly go to the two most progressive radicals other than Kamala Harris that have ever been public figures in our government. And so if the truth is staring us all right in the face, other than, I mean, I know that you said elect great candidates and try to weed out the fake America First or the faux Trump supporters or whatever it is. That's fine. And Trump is one man. He's responsible for the Great Awakening. But we have to do whatever is going to make his legacy. We have to be responsible for doing that. Yeah. But if the system is rigged, if it's not fair, and in this environment where white people are evil and conservatives are racist and everybody's a bigoted misogynist and machines are being used to throw this thing in the middle of the night, despite the trending of just a complete landslide, why does it matter what candidate is out there? They're going to have who they want, are they not?
No, it seems like they will. But the fact of the matter is, if white people will stand up. And I've been advocating for this forever, and I'm going to throw out the disclaimer. I'm an Arab, so I kind of view myself, predominantly at least, so I kind of view myself as an arbiter on race relations in America. If white people will stand up and say, I've had enough, I'm not going to apologize anymore, I'm done with this. Like, you know, you can call me whatever names you want, doesn't matter to me. You know, call me a racist, call me a misogynist, call me an oppressor, call me all these things.
Yeah, wear it like a badge of honor, for crying out loud.
Yeah, if you just own it. The words have no meaning. They have no power over you. Go on about your daily life. Go run for office, right? Flood the races so that even if they do rig it, they rig it at least in favor of somebody who will be mildly helpful to our cause.
Yeah.
Right?
I've been telling people the most patriotic thing that you can do is run. If you don't like the way that things are happening, if you don't like the candidates, then get out there and do something about it. We saw Mark Robinson out in North Carolina. I mean, he was a black man saying, I represent the majority. When are y'all going to start representing the majority? And he did it. He went and did it. He's lieutenant governor out there now. We had him here on this program. And that is what you need to do. I'm up against a hard break and I got to go. Pete DeBrasca, thanks so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Stu.
Well, we all know that the media will never report on the assault on law enforcement. The radical left has been calling for defunding for over a year now, removing police from the streets, legalizing crime, allowing cities to burn, people losing everything, being raped, assaulted, officers being literally targeted, assassinated on the job. And what's the response? Well, the media stays silent while top prosecutors allow the violent criminals to go free and actually remove enhancements for the use of a gun during the commission of a crime or for killing cops. Then they tell you that there's no war on cops. The state of law enforcement is really sad, folks. And those responsible for bringing you the real news are intentionally ignoring absolutely all of it. Have you heard of Aminadab Gaxiola Gonzalez? More than likely not. And why wouldn't you have heard of the Orange County mass shooter responsible for the death of four innocent people, including a young child in California? Why isn't his face all over the television screen? Why aren't those in the media calling for accountability and demanding his prosecution, prison sentence, death penalty, or deportation? Well, because he's not a white Christian patriot or a Trump supporter, that's why. This should infuriate everyone, regardless of your political alignment, but it can't upset you if you don't know about it. That's why every Friday we talk with Randy Sutton. Lieutenant Sutton, one of the most highly decorated officers in the history of the Las Vegas Metro Police Department. He's a regular national law enforcement commentator in the national news cycle and the founder of the Wounded Blue, and we're happy to have him. Lieutenant, welcome back to Patriotically Correct. We always appreciate having you on Fridays.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be here, although it is a little early for me, Stu.
Yeah, it is. We appreciate you getting up early for us. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot happening in law enforcement, as you well know. The war on cops is real, but it takes a lot of different forms. There's the physical war where people are attacking law enforcement officers with guns and bricks and rocks and all kinds of other methodologies. But there's a much more insidious war, and that is from the lawmakers themselves who are making every inroad possible into destroying the criminal justice system in America. And here's a typical example is what's happening in New York City. The city council votes to end qualified immunity and seven other measures to, quote, reform the NYPD. This is a very frightening movement here that's taking place. New York City has already been defunded by $1 billion because of Mayor de Blasio and Andrew Cuomo. Cuomo, who of course is his level of corruption and moral decay is only now coming to the fore. But what one of the thing he did was he actually told every city in the state of New York to come up with a plan to reform the police. This is the governor's order. So a couple of crazy, you know, aspects of this is the city of Ithaca. Mm-hmm. Ithaca is probably one of the most liberal, cockeyed cities in the country. I mean, it rivals Berkeley in its liberalism. And that mayor, who, by the way, has never held a job in his entire life, has called for the disarming of police and reimagining policing.
Yeah.
And
I actually spoke with one of the Ithaca officers, actually, that is inside of their police union there. And they were supposed to come on the show. I don't know if they got cold feet, Randy, or if the story, if they've been kind of gag ordered there and they're not allowed to talk to me. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But they were. I talked to the president of the union there. And he's like, just imagine spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to send your daughter or your son to one of these really expensive, there are two schools there, post-secondary educational facilities there that are extremely prestigious, I guess, if you will, yeah, for the educational elite. And imagine sending your daughter there, having no cops there to protect her from the criminal element. Now, what's going to happen is you've got these dope-dealing, gang-banging thugs from Syracuse who are just going to go, there's no cops in Ithaca? I mean, they're actually, listen, folks, this is for real. They're actually taking and disbanding the goal here by this mayor that Lieutenant Sutton has talked about, has never held a job, has no grasp on what reality actually is. I'm sure that his daughter is either grown or gone or doesn't live in Ithaca, doesn't need the protection of police, but he wants to get rid of every gun, every armed cop, make all of the cops that currently work at this police department reapply for unarmed positions, health and safety officers or liaisons or whatever the hell he's going to call them there. And then there will only be a select few amount of people that retain their weapons, and they will only respond if things are out of control. This is absolutely devastating for not only the residents and the students there, but for the police there who are being assaulted. But like you said, in the physical, by the blocks and the rocks and the water bottles, you know, frozen and filled with urine and all these other things. But also the people who are just having to walk around the streets there every day, knowing that there's not an armed police officer. I mean, we see in third world countries and over in the UK there and in Britain and Europe, what kind of results this has. to imagine this actually happening in the United States, and it's all based on a false narrative, is it not?
Yeah, this is all coming on the heels of the George Floyd debacle, which gave rise to criminality on a level now that we've never seen in this country. And of course, every city that has either defunded the police or made major changes to the policing aspects of their city is now paying the price in blood. There is no public or very little public outcry as to their own safety. It's like watching lemmings run to the sea. Ithaca mayor, in his insanity and his tone-deaf philosophical theology of liberalism, has now appointed a convicted cop killer to reform the police.
What?
That's the person that he puts on the committee to reimagine policing. A guy who executed a police officer, put a gun to his head after he shot him, and shot him right in the head point blank.
Has there been any response from the people of Ithaca, from the citizens, from the residents there, from the people who go there to go to school? I mean, has there been any outcry about any of this? I mean, this is news to me, and of course, this is not going to be... why isn't Don Lemon talking about this, or Chris Cuomo over there at the Communist News Network? Why isn't MSNBC all over this thing? Why aren't the major broadcast networks? Where is the truth in journalism? Don't they think that people ought to know that a convicted cop killer is reforming police departments in a major city in America?
Because they embrace it. They embrace all of the madness that is taking place across America. They embrace the fact that the New York City Council has just made one of the most dangerous decisions to affect law enforcement officers ever done. The ending of qualified immunity, first of all, qualified immunity has become a buzzword in the anti-law enforcement world, because it's a concept that most people don't understand. And so when the liberal left titles something anti, that this is an overreach by the police, people don't know better, because it's a doctrine that's difficult to understand. So they sell it to people as this qualified immunity saves cops from being sued for when they violate people's civil rights. Now, that is not true, but because it does afford protections from frivolous lawsuits, okay, this is the word, frivolous lawsuits, that literally what the only protection that cops have is qualified immunity, that you have a friend here, hold on a second, that gives a police officer a little shield when it comes down to Joe Blow doesn't like the way you look at him, so he files a lawsuit against you. Well, court looks at that and says, that's nonsense. That doesn't have to even go to court.
Yeah.
So that's all the qualified immunity does. It doesn't protect a police officer from being sued for actually violating people's rights. It's only if they're acting reasonably. But now what the city of New York has done, it's stripped that away. And Ed Mullins, who is the union president of the Sergeant's Benevolent Association, came out with some very chilling directions to every city police officer. And that is, don't do anything. Don't make people stops.
Why should they jump out on suspicion? Why should they be rolling through an alley and go, hey, that's a known gangbanger. I know him. I've dealt with him 100 times. Every time that I've dealt with him, he's had a firearm on him, a stolen firearm, something with a serial number shaved off of it. Why should they jump out on somebody in a traffic stop that ran that red light when they know that the car is filled with suspects from a home invasion from the night before? Specifically, if they're black, Randy, and I'm just going to call a spade a spade. If they're black people, officers are not going to jump out on them, because the minute they use force, even in the most justifiable use of force situations, they're going to be thrown under the bus by their own administration as these politicized command staffs walk away from them. They're going to be criminally prosecuted. They're going to be subject to an IA investigation. Then an attorney's general office is going to prosecute them. The Civil Liberties Union is going to come after them. You've got the Department of Justice now with the Biden Justice Department. We've seen what happened with the Obama Justice Department as Eric Holder was prosecuting cops all over the country. Again, even in the most justifiable use of force situations. These are guys that have childhood dreams. Cops don't just go become cops. This is something that lives inside of somebody. These people had childhood dreams. I'm going to be a police officer when I grow up. They went to school. They worked hard. They remained law-abiding. They went to a post-secondary education. They went to skills training in many cases. They went to an academy. They went through an FTO process. They've been vetted. They've gone through psychological evaluations, backgrounding that would make your head spin. I mean, these people talk to first-grade teachers. They go through your social media. They talk to old neighbors. These people that are working, a million cops on the street that you don't hear about on a daily basis, that are protecting the people that they don't even know, they've never even met, regardless of their skin color, their political ideologies, their religious beliefs, or their sexual orientation, if you will, running directly towards gunfire, but you never hear about any of that kind of thing. And so all of a sudden we have this hands up, don't shoot lie down in Ferguson. We have Eric Garner selling singles over there in New York with a lateral vascular neck restraint. You've got the six that were in Baltimore that were all acquitted because they overcharged these things. Derek Chauvin is going to get off. The media won't show you the photos that we showed here at redvoicemedia.com yesterday of Derek Chauvin's knee clearly being on the back of George Floyd, not on his neck. But they want you to believe that he set out in his childhood when he first had this dream because he was a racist and that was bred into him, and he's just a racist killer, and he threw it all away, his family, his career, everything that he's ever worked for, because it would be worth killing George Floyd because he hates black people. And that's what the narrative is.
Yeah, that's and I've been, of course, watching a lot of the trial, and it's really been interesting to me. I knew from the beginning that what the prosecution's strategy was going to be, and it's all based on the videotape, which is horrendous to look at, but not based on science, not based on the realities of the cause of death.
Correct.
And this is a difficult hurdle for the prosecution. So what they're doing is they're putting up every possible sympathetic witness, and it's very effective. I mean, you know, the people that saw this were moved and visibly, you know, affected by this, as any normal human being would. But it's not about fact anymore.
No,
it's about emotion.
And rightfully, I mean, they were moved.
That's what
rightfully
they're trying to get the conviction on.
No normal person, no sane person, no person with any kind of values or morals wants to see somebody die. It's for a certain type of person, and even people that are built to see it don't enjoy it, you know. And so I understand what the optics were not good for the Minneapolis Police Department, that it didn't look good for Derek Chauvin. I'm not up here saying that I agree 100% with the tactics that were used that day, but it doesn't make him guilty of murder. And right. I really believe that we have allowed this court of public opinion to go off the rails far too quickly. I mean, look at the police department settling for $27 million. There's other settlements.
The day of the jury pick, mind you.
The day of the jury pick, exactly.
Yeah.
You've already convicted the guy. The city of Minneapolis is throwing this guy under the bus. And then you have to think about this, too. What about the potential repercussions for these jurors should they say he's not guilty? What about them being
right.
made public later? Basically, we have shown you that we will burn your business to the ground. We will burn your house down. We will follow your kids to school. We will dox you. We'll put your faces all over social media. We'll call you a racist. We'll make your life a living hell. You'll have to relocate. And when you do, we will find you. You will not be safe in the grocery store. You could be raped. You could be murdered. Really, what have you asked these jurors to do? This is a forced guilty verdict, is what it is. It's extortion in every way possible.
And you know, one of the things that I was watching the mainstream media reporting on Derek Chauvin, and one of the things that they were dwelling on was they pronounced him depraved because the word depraved is in the only possible guilty verdict that they could get, which is the third degree murder, which doesn't require intent. It requires a depraved, quote unquote, mindset. So they keep on throwing that word at, based on the fact that he did not show emotion at the scene. Well, what do they want the police to do? Do they want him to scream and yell and show and cry and, because that would show that he's human. The insanity of the reporting on this is beyond belief. Police officers are trained to be stoic. You have to be stoic and under the most extreme circumstances. And that, and yet now they're using this officer's stoicism to paint him as a depraved murderer. It's outrageous, the reporting that's going on here, but it's
but not surprising. It doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, it is outrageous, but unfortunately not surprising.
Well, I want to mention one thing. This is especially to the law enforcement officers that are listening and viewing this broadcast. My organization, the Wounded Blue, does everything it can to aid injured and disabled officers. Well, on October 28th through the 30th, the Wounded Blue is hosting the first Law Enforcement Survival Summit to be held in Las Vegas during those days. And this is going to be an incredible opportunity. It's every aspect of surviving a law enforcement career.
We're going to put the website at redvoicemedia.com as well as those dates also, thewoundedblue.org, and we'll make sure that everybody knows about that, and we'll continuously remind them as we get closer. But you want to pre-register for this event right now, go to thewoundedblue.org. That is thewoundedblue.org. Randy Sutton, Las Vegas Metro PD lieutenant, retired, one of the highest decorated officers ever to come out of there. Level-headed guy and not afraid of the truth. We appreciate having you. Thanks a lot. We'll see you again next Friday, right? More of the Powerful Conversation.
See you next Friday. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
More of the Powerful Conversation continues as PC Radio continues in just 60 seconds. My name is Stu Peters. Go nowhere.